Many of you know that 1 year ago, my wife, Annalisa, became pregnant. And you also know that that pregnancy ended in a miscarriage. We lost the life. On a literal biological sense, we lost the life, but we also lost the life on a spiritual level. We lost the life that we had dreamed of and hoped for. We lost a life that we had imagined of taking our kid and playing in the park or walking them down the block to their school, of reading to them my favorite stories and introducing them to you. We thought we had in our hands a life, and we lost it. And perhaps one of the most cruel things that nature does to a woman who has had a miscarriage is remind her every single month that she is not pregnant. God said to Abraham, "As for me, this is the covenant that I make with you. You shall be the father of a multitude of nations." God gives this promise to Abraham, but God doesn't say how or when. It takes 25 years for God to make good on God's promise. It takes 25 years before Abraham and Sarah will hold in their arms their son Isaac. That's 300 months of Sarah's body reminding her time and time again that the promise still isn't fulfilled. In all truth, it's probably fewer months than that, because the scriptures tell us she was already old when God made that promise, and it probably was quite quick before her body said, "You know what? There's no hope at all." Abraham and Sarah left behind their homeland and their families. They left behind everything they knew to follow this promise of God. And then for years, they had to live with the brutal reminder that the promise was not fulfilled. I spent weeks this past summer preaching on Abraham and Sarah, and one of the many things I talked about is the cruel acts that they did to try to force God's promise to come to fruition. The deeds of deception, of abuse and rape. This past year, for the first time, I think I began to understand what would drive Abraham and Sarah to do the things they did. I began to understand the temptation to try to hold on to the life we think we deserve so tightly that we strangle the life that God has actually given us. We can work so hard to try to save our life that we end up losing it. And I am grateful, for one, that God has never made me a promise that I will be a father. I am grateful because I don't try to cling to that life as the one that will define me. And instead, God has been able, through friends and family, and through each and every one of you, to remind me of the goodness of life that God has already given me. God's love through you has bound our wounds and reminded us of the blessings we have in this life, even in the midst of a pandemic. And so we made peace with the life that we had been given, and we even got a puppy, which has made our cup of blessing overflow, our cup of chaos overflow as well. And then this past January, Annalisa missed her period. And we were so excited and so terrified because we had already lost a life once. And we braced ourselves for the possibility of losing another. A little over a month ago, we went to the 8 weeks doctor's appointment, the same doctor's appointment where previously the doctor had told us that she couldn't find a heartbeat and the pregnancy would end in miscarriage. And so we entered that doctor's office with trepidation. And I held Annalisa's hand as the doctor performed the ultrasound. And there on that small, grainy monitor, we saw a small but steady flicker of light. And the doctor said to us, "That's your child's heartbeat. It's strong and healthy. Your due date is September 8th. Paul says that God's promise to Abraham is a promise that rests on grace, which means that there is nothing he could do to earn or deserve it. God just gives it to him. There is nothing that embodies the experience of grace, of receiving a gift that you can't earn or deserve, like seeing the heartbeat of your child. Paul says that the only way you can receive such a promise of grace is through faith, through trusting that the promise is real and that it is good, and being willing to follow wherever it leads you, even if it leads you to heartbreak and to lose the life that you knew. This is what believing the promise meant for Abraham as he became the father of a multitude of nations. And perhaps this is what it means to be a parent, to be given a gift of grace, the life of a child, a life that you cannot control, a life that if you love it, will break your heart, will cause you to lose the life that you know, and yet to receive this gift of grace with joy and gladness, to willingly lose your life in love, trusting that in that same love you will find life anew. This is faith. And Paul tells us that this faith of Abraham is reckoned to him as righteousness, that this faith is all that God requires. And it is to this faith that Jesus calls us. You see, in Jesus, we too have been given an incredible promise of grace, that we are part of God's family, that we also are God's children. And with this gift, we are entrusted the lives of all children, not just those born of our body, but those born of faith. We are called to be parents like Abraham, a parent of a multitude of nations who are united not by biology, but by the belief we hold in our God. What we are called to is to receive our siblings in Christ as that gift of grace, knowing that we cannot control their lives, knowing that if we love them, they will break our hearts, that if we love them, we will lose the life that we have known, and yet to receive them with joy and gladness, trusting that even as we lose our life in love, in that same love, we will find life anew. You have showed me this. You people of faith have shown me what it is to love one another, to love to the point where it breaks your heart and you lose the life you knew, but in that love you discover one that's even better. You have loved me this way, and you have helped me find my life in that love. And so, as I hope beyond hope that on September 8th, I get to hold my child in my arms, and I hope beyond hope that in the months and years ahead, I get to hold my child's hand and lead them into knowing this wonderful world and all you beautiful people in it. For now, I hold onto only this, that Jesus has promised that those who lose their lives for his sake and for the sake of the gospel will find it. And so, I submit my heart to God and to you, to let it be broken with joy or sorrow, knowing that whatever comes in the months ahead, my life will never be the same. And yet, whatever comes, it will be good. For the life I have, I share with Christ. And I share with you in his love. May we learn to cherish the blessing of that life and to share it every single day, waiting in hope to see what good God will make of it. Amen.